Philippians chapter 4. The Bible says, this is Paul writing to the church at Philippi, and I know you know that. Therefore, my brethren, of course, if it's therefore, you got to know what it's therefore, what happened before that. We'll not go back into it, but we understand we're following in line of thought, and that's important. It's important when we're studying the Bible that we understand the train of thought and follow that train of thought. Because you can take a verse and make it say what, I mean, it says what it says, right? But we can make it mean many different things unless we put it in context. And there's a verse, we'll get to it here, that's taken out of context probably more than any other verse in the Bible. And I know, judge not, it's right up there at the top, isn't it? But there's verses that are taken out of context, and I think we appreciate them more when we understand them in context. I know that we can get inspiration no matter what, but put it in context and it'll mean more to you. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for. You think he loved this church? You think he loved the church at Philippi? I mean, dearly beloved and longed for. He loved them. In fact, go back to chapter 1. See how he started the letter out there in verse 3. He said, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. Now, that's somebody you love, isn't it? And I know you, every time you think of your husband or your wife, that's what happens. Every time you think of them, you thank God for them, right? Hey, every remembrance, thank God for them, right? All right, we have to work on that. And then, but that's how it is here with the church. He said, man, when I think of you, I'm just so grateful. Look at verse 8. God is my record how greatly I long after you, you all, in the bowels of Jesus Christ. In other words, he just loves, loves, loves that church. Now, that ought to be the case for us. It ought to be the case when we think of church, we ought to think of how much we love the people. That's the church. The church is not the pews and the walls. The church is the people. Don't y'all remember that? Open the doors and see all the people. That's the people. That's the church. So when we think about our church, we're not thinking about a building, but I'm thankful for our campus. I thank God for what we have here. But it's the people that make the church. When visitors come in, what kind of impact are they going to make? Now, it's important for us to keep the place looking nice, and y'all do a great job with that. And we've got people that are assigned. They take care of the business, and it looks nice. But what if they're treated rudely? What if we're unfriendly? You think they're going to say, boy, I just love that church. I can tell you what they're going to say, because I've heard it when people come from other churches. They say it's the most unfriendly church I've ever been to. We've got a member of a church of this church right now that attended a church, a different church, before she came here. And she said, I visited that church, and that's the most unfriendly group of people I've ever been around. Now, think about that. Now, unless you want that reputation, the only way to not have that reputation is to be intentional to have a friendly reputation, to be friendly, to be nice, to introduce yourself. You don't have to invite them out to lunch if you don't want to or anything. You don't have to sit next to them or anything like that, but just go up and introduce yourself and ask their name. That's all it takes. Now, I do know that some people don't like that, but I'd rather be convicted of being too friendly than of being unfriendly. Paul says, every time I think of this church, I'm thankful. He says, I long for these people. I long to be in their company, in their midst. In verse 1 here, chapter 4, he said, dearly beloved and longed for. Man, he said, I just long to be around you. I want to be with you. My joy and my crown. Oh, he says, of all the churches I've been with, he said, I will point people to y'all as an example of what kind of church to be. That's true. You look at it. Think about that. Now, of all the churches you've been to, is this the best church you've been a part of? And why is that? Well, because you're a part of it, no doubt. It's you. But think about it. If it's not, then what do we need to change besides the preacher? Something else. To come up with another idea. But think about it. So that we long for our church, that we love our church. I hope and I believe. I talk to people that aren't able to be here, and they always say, we want to be there. That ought to be the way it is. I'd hate to think that people are just not coming because they don't want to, and it's a convenient excuse. The ones I talk to say, no, that's not the reason. We want to be there, and I believe them. Well, what about us? What about you? Is it your heart? You long to be here. Paul said, you are my joy. When he thinks about that church at Philippi, it just makes his heart beat. And my crown. He says, I feel like I've accomplished something by ministering there. I feel like I've done something there. It made a difference. And he says, so stand fast in the Lord. Oh, he says, don't let me down. Don't back down. Don't compromise. Don't waver, my dearly beloved. Now look at verse 2. After we just bragged and bragged and bragged on this church, what about verse 2? He calls out two members of the church by name. You see that? Euodias and Syntyche. Beseech them that they be of the same mind in the Lord. So what have we got going on even in this wonderful church? We got two people that don't agree. Now, can we accept that even in a great church like Philippi and even in a great church like Capitol Heights, we're not always going to agree? But what Paul said is, not that you have to agree on everything, but be of the same mind when it comes to things of God. So see, we can have differences, except when it comes to the Word of God, we shouldn't have differences. We should believe the Word of God. We should believe the mission of God. We should be sold out and committed to the mission and the purpose of the church. He says they should be of the same mind in the Lord. Verse 3, help the women, he says. I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, my other fellow helpers whose names are in the book of life. He says, I want you to bless those women. Help those women. What happened? Well, you know, sometimes people do all they can for God. They leave their families, they leave their jobs, they leave their homes, and they serve, and they serve, and they do, and they do. And then what happens when they can no longer do that or when that ministry dries up? Well, they've left everything. Think about the apostles back in Jerusalem. They left their nets right there on the shore with their father. James and John, they just walked away. Levi was sitting at the seat of customs. Jesus said, follow me, and he got up and left. He left a good job. He left a big home. He left all the respect and reputation of his co-workers, of all of his peers, to go into the ministry. Now let me ask you something. Do you think a month later he could get his job back? Do you think he could go back to his old job? No. How about Peter? Remember Peter left the nets too and he followed Jesus? And then after the crucifixion, Peter says, well, I'm going fishing. I'm going back. And he went back, didn't he? And he got a lot of fish that night, that next morning. But now what happens? We see him not fishing on the day of Pentecost, preaching on the day of Pentecost. You see, he left it. And he would be able to go back. Paul was a tent maker. He went and made tents everywhere he went. He supplied his own provisions. But there comes a time here with these women where they need help. And he says to the church at Philippi, help them. Help them out. Verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say, rejoice. Now maybe that seems out of place right there, but it's never out of place to have a heavenly mindset. Guys, I know when it comes to our physical pains, maybe financial needs, maybe marriage trouble or family trouble or concerns about what's going on around us, maybe even a neighbor. I mean, it could be lots of different things that sometimes just drive us to the edge. But Paul said, be heavenly minded. Because what happens is if we get our mind on that, we're going to be miserable. If we get our mind on the things that are going on around us, we're going to be miserable. But if we'll be heavenly minded and we can find that ray of sunshine, that silver lining, if we can find the joy in every situation, it'll keep us sane and it'll give us peace. So rejoice in the Lord always. And then he says, again, I say rejoice. Verse 5, let your moderation be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. In other words, what he's saying here in that word moderation, he's talking about our surrender, our submission. He said, let everybody see you as a surrendered child of God. That our hope is in God, that our faith is in God. I want to tell you something. There are some things that go on in our world that people would expect us to be a nervous wreck over. They would expect us to be anxious over and to worry about. But again, I ask you, has it ever cured anything by worrying about it? So by having hope in our situation, by rejoicing in our situation, you know what people are going to see? They're going to say, with all that's going on in your life, how do you still have peace? Let your moderation be known unto all men. In other words, what he's saying is, let people see how surrendered you are. Let me tell you something. There's a lot in this world that I would like to change, and I can't change. There are things about my life that I would like to change that I can't change. And so you know what I do? I just put my hope in the Lord. I just surrender to God. I just say, Lord, here's my prayer. I lay out my prayer. I lay out my burden. I ask for those things that I want. Jesus said what? Let your request be made known unto God. And I do. I say, Lord, this is all that I want. And I'm trusting you. A moment ago we prayed, didn't we? Prayed for all these different needs. And you know what we said, Lord, but we trust you. We don't know the answer. I don't know your plan, but here's what I do know. I know I trust you. And so let's trust him. Let people see how much we trust him. That moderation. Let your moderation, your surrender be known unto God. Verse 6, be careful for nothing. And that means worry, right? He's not saying be careless, but he's saying don't be so worried. Don't be worried over everything. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. What I've noticed is there's a lot of anxiety in our world. I talk to people, they're anxious. I talk to people and they're on edge. And I talk to people and they're worrying. And I talk to people and they're afraid. And Paul said to the church at Philippi, you know what the cure for that is? Prayer. Prayer. We say, well, Pastor, what if the Lord tells me to... Look, he sent a missionary. He sent a prophet to Paul. Y'all remember the prophet Agabus? And Paul said, I'm going to Jerusalem. Agabus shows up, goes over to the basket where Paul's clothes were, and he picks up a girdle. And he holds it up, and he said, the guy that this belongs to is going to get tied up in it. Going to be bound when he goes to Jerusalem. They're going to lock him up. Now, I don't know about you, but I would have taken that as a word of warning. I would have taken that as a sign from God. Here's a stranger, and he says, this person's going to Jerusalem, and they're going to be bound when they get there. And I would have said, okay, Lord, I get it. You want me not to go? Is that what Paul did? No, Paul said, stop crying. I'm going. Don't try to stop me. I'm going. And what happened when he got there? They locked him up. But he had a warning. He didn't heed that warning. You can say he's right or wrong. Doesn't matter. The fact is, he was warned, and he did it anyway. And exactly what was said would happen did happen. So we need to pray. Just put it in God's hands and trust him. And then follow his guidance. Follow his leadership. Let me tell you something. There's a guy that prays and says, Lord, show me what I can do for African missions. And God sends him to Africa. And another guy prays and says, Lord, show me what I can do for African missions. And he says, give that guy some money. You see, he doesn't send us all the same. He doesn't answer us all the same way. So I won't be mad at you when he answers you your way, and you don't be mad at me when he answers me my way. He's got different purposes for each of us. Can we understand that? In everything, key word, everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God, whatever it is. With prayer, supplication, thanksgiving, let him know your request. But be submitted, be gentle, moderation, he says. Let everybody see how surrendered you are. Lord, this is what I'm asking for. I'm just trusting you, whatever it is. This is my idea. I'm trusting you. Look at verse 7, because this is it. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You say, well, I prayed about it and I've got a peace about it. Sister Mary Shannon, this is the third round she's got with cancer. Talk to her about it. Ask her how she feels. Ask her what she's going to do. Ask her if she's worried. Now, I'll tell you, if she got that call from the doctor today, it disappointed her. I don't blame her. But you know what she says? It's in the Lord's hands. In the Lord's hands. What are you going to do? Go to the doctor. What if they say have surgery? Going to have surgery. What if they say have treatment? Going to get treatment. Well, then what you going to do? Trust the Lord. What you going to do in the meantime? Trust the Lord. Just going to trust the Lord. It's in God's hands. That's the attitude we need to have. I think of Sister Doris when she was dying. We're private people. And Al called and he said, this is what's going on. Come up and see her if you want to. And I went to the hospital and saw her. She couldn't even talk. But she wrote a little note. Anything you want me to do when I get there? You know why? She was dying. But what could she do to change it? You know what she did? She just trusted the Lord. Just trust the Lord. She knew where she was going. And she went. By the way, I told her to say hello to my grandmother when she got there. Finally, brother, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. What you been thinking about this week? Have you been thinking about somebody and saying, that guy lies so much? Well, that's not pure, lovely, or virtuous. But that's what we spend all of our time thinking about, is all the mischief and all the misconduct and all the trouble and all the crime and all the violence. Guys, if that's what we think about, it's going to ruin us. It's no wonder people are anxious and miserable and bitter. How about if we do what Paul said? First of all, he said, pray. Let the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your heart and mind. Oh, by prayer. And then he says, with your mind, think about the good things, virtuous, lovely, good report. Think about those things. Get your mind on things that are good. Get yourself up out of the mud. Get yourself up out of the bed. Encourage yourself. Think of what the Bible said about David. David encouraged himself in the Lord. You see, we talked the other day about humbling ourselves. In other words, it's within my control to get my mind right, to know my place and to have my attitude right. It's in my control. It's in my control to get my mind right. One, by prayer. And two, by feeding my mind with the right things. But when we feed it to ourselves, we encourage ourselves. And when we feed it to others, we encourage others. But when we feed our minds negativity, disappointment, bad news, it robs our peace and it makes us bitter and miserable. Verse 9. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard of me and seen in me do, the God of peace shall be with you. He says, if we will live biblically, we'll know the peace of God. We'll know the presence. Look at what it says. He shall be with you. We'll know the presence of the God of peace. So it's in our control. In verse number 11, Paul says, not that I speak of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. To be content. This train of thought, this line of thinking, is important in order to get all the way over to verse 13. Look at verse 12. I know both how to be abased and how to abound. Everywhere in all things, I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry. Now, I'll tell you, I've been there. I've learned that. How to be full and hungry at the same time. But this direction of God is that we should be satisfied and yet have a desire to do better. That we should be content and yet have a desire to do more. Both to abound and to suffer need. Verse 13. You can quote this, can't you? I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Now, that verse is taken out of context, and we throw it on everything that says, I can do anything. When you put it in context, and you understand, Paul was saying, I've been in trouble, and I've been on top of the mountain. I've been near death, and I've been fully alive. I've been hungry and full. In verse 13, he's saying, and you know what? I can get through anything, because I've got Christ in me. I can do anything. I can do all things. You want me to enjoy the pleasures of life? I can do that. You want me to understand the miseries of life? I can do that. How many of you have ever been somewhere and wished that you didn't have to be there? And you sat there, and probably Sunday morning last week, but you sat there and you thought, oh, I wish I could get up and leave right now. I don't know why I even came here. I just want to get up and go right now. Now, I've been in situations like that and just trying to figure out how to set the place on fire without being caused for arson. I just want to get out. But I have found myself in those situations, in places I didn't want to be. But you know what I've learned? I can endure all things through Christ Jesus, which strengthens me. That this too will pass. Guys, we can endure it. I can do this. When you don't want to be somewhere and you don't want to do something and you're telling yourself you don't have to do it and you don't know anybody, just think, hey, I can do this in Christ, which strengthens me. Just need God's grace and I can get through this. Maybe that's a medical situation. You're going through it and you say, I can't do this. Hold on a second. I can do this. Through Christ, which strengthens me. Maybe it's a season of emotional turmoil, loss, grief, anxiety. I don't want to do this anymore. I can't do this. Hold on, wait. I can do this. Through Christ, which strengthens me. You see, that's the context. The context is not, I can do everything. The context is I can get through whatever I'm going through with the Lord on my side. And I can pray, and God will give me peace. Jesus was going to the cross, going to be crucified for sin he hadn't committed. He prayed, and he said, Lord, is there any other way? Father, is there any other way? And then he said, not my will, but thy will be done. You know, he said, I can do this. I can do this. And if he can endure what he endured for us, we can endure in him. So let's not lose hope. Let's not lose faith. Let's keep our eyes on him. The Bible talks about looking to the author and finisher of our faith. Look to him. Now, I'll give you an out here and tell you. I remember sitting in church, and I tell this story all the time. I was sitting in a preacher's meeting in Orlando, and a guy got up to preach. And I really needed to be at the hospital for somebody. They called right before I walked in and said, hey, so-and-so's in the hospital, and can you go see him? And I said, yeah, no problem, I'll go see him. But I thought, I could do that after this, no big deal. And that preacher got up there and didn't say anything. This didn't preach. This didn't.
And I sat there and thought, Lord, why am I here? This is awful. I'm the same way you feel every time. I'm teasing. I hope. I'm wrong, I hope. And I sat there and I said, Lord, this is, why am I here? I got somebody that's in the hospital and I should be there. And you know what the Lord said? Get up and leave. Guess what I did?
Got up and left. Amen.
That's what I did. Now, I don't know what all those other preachers, and they might have been getting a lot out of it. And let me tell you something. I was sitting there knowing that I needed to be somewhere else, and it could have been just about the Prince of Preachers himself. But because I needed to be somewhere else, I wouldn't get anything out of it. He may have been doing a fantastic job for the purpose he was there. But I needed to be somewhere else. And so when the Lord gave me that direction, I left. And prayer. Talk to him. Listen to him. Trust him and let the peace of God rule in your hearts and minds. Let's stand. Father, we love you so much and we're thankful for this time and for this message. It's a timely message. We need this encouragement. We need this reminder that there are things in this life that we don't want to go through. But in Christ, by our faith, we can do all things. We can get through it. And so we pray that you would direct us in the right paths and forgive our sin. In Jesus' name, amen.